What is up, guys? Nick Scrip here, live on the Fantrax Twitter and YouTube page. We are talking fantasy breakouts for this coming season. Should be a good show. I think I have like 5, 6, 7 guys to talk about. Going to fly through it. Stick with us. All right, let's get it. So we have fantasy football breakouts for 2023. I think I have 6 guys here to talk to you guys about. We are plugging tons and tons of content over here at Fantrax in different forms. So this coming football season, be sure you are following all pages, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. We're dropping tons of content consistently. And I think we are truly going to make a push in the industry as a leader in fantasy football here. So first guy we will talk about for fantasy football breakouts, Garrett Wilson, who is probably a breakout for most people, but let's talk about it. There was high hopes year one, being selected 10th overall in the 2022 draft, but I think he surpassed those expectations. He had a great rookie season, 147 targets, ranked 6th, 1,103 receiving yards, ranked 14th, 12.7 fantasy points per game, was 30th, and that was despite having a mixture of Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, and Chris Streveler at quarterback. Wilson was top 12 in routes run and top 20 in yards after the catch. And we now have big changes in New York with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is in town now, leading the way. Rodgers has had a resume including 10 seasons over 4,000 passing yards. What's most appealing to me when it comes to Garrett Wilson is having 3 seasons of 40-plus passing touchdowns. Wilson only scored 4 last year, despite being top 10 in red zone targets. So the playbook was focused at times on trying to get Garrett Wilson the ball in the end zone. It didn't work out with only 4 touchdowns, but now you have a better quality quarterback and passer in Aaron Rodgers. So he's getting closer and closer to the end of his career, Aaron Rodgers, but we cannot dismiss the fantasy production of Davante Adams and what he's done historically. And we are not saying Garrett Wilson is equal to Davante Adams, or that he will live up to maybe those expectations, but we can directly tie fantasy production to Aaron Rodgers when it comes to the wide receiver position. And when we look at the wide receiver room, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, they're coming from Green Bay back with Aaron Rodgers, Mecole Hardman coming from the Chiefs there, Denzel Mims. It's clear that Garrett Wilson is the alpha. He should have a heavy target share, and I think he's going to ball out just because we saw it last season with 4 average to below average Jets quarterback. So I have high optimism in this 2023 season with Aaron Rodgers. Next on the list, Bijan Robinson. I think he has had plenty of hype coming into the year. Obviously, that has been warranted just because of the draft capital and his college production. So if we look at what he did back at Texas, the generational talent stamp just truly makes sense. He rushed for 1,127 yards and 11 touchdowns in 2021. He had 26 catches in that season and 4 touchdowns through the air. That was in 10 games. In 2022, he followed up those stats with 1,580 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns, along with 314 receiving yards. So we're looking at a guy who had 157.83 scrimmage yards per game in 12 games for 2022. That's outstanding to average that. Physical build, inside, outside runner, fast feet, the footwork, receiving abilities. This is a true NFL workhorse. And he lands in an Arthur Smith-led Falcons that had the most rushing attempts in 2022. Tyler Allgeier himself rushed for over 1,000 yards in his rookie season. But the investment difference was Allgeier pick 151 in 2022 and Bijan Robinson pick 8 in 2023. Without touching a football, Bijan is ranked as the dynasty running back 1 for a lot of sites. And I think that he is the top 5 overall upside you were looking for in the quarterback position. So this is, the running back position. An offense that's going to feature also first round draft picks, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. But I think this offense still runs through Bijan Robinson, and he is going to have a heavy workload. You know, he gets comped to Saquon Barkley pretty often, and I think we can mirror the expectations of what we wanted out of Saquon Barkley his rookie year to what we should expect out of Bijan Robinson in his rookie season. Next on the list, it wouldn't be a Nick Script stream if I was not talking about Jerry Jeudy. I've always loved him. You know, I loved him as a prospect. 2,743 scrimmage yards and 26 touchdowns at Alabama. He was drafted 15th overall in 2020. 113 targets and top 7 in both deep targets and air yards as a rookie. Then he played a lot of the slot position in his sophomore season. So that kind of shows to me, hey, his rookie season, they try to go deep with him, air it out to him. Sophomore season, more in the slot. In 2022, Jeudy averaged 13.6 fantasy points per game, which was 19th for wide receivers. But he was red hot in the 7 games, playing 50% plus of the snaps the last 7 of those games. He averaged 19.37 fantasy points per game. That's big time when we're looking at a 7-game stretch to finish off the season. Jeudy was number 12 in deep targets. He had 24, number 22 in receiving yards. He had he was number 16 in yards after the catch and number 9 in yards per target. So that to me shows plenty of playmaking and efficiency this past season. Denver picked up Judy's fifth-year option. 2022 was a huge indicator to me that Jeudy is ready for a breakout, especially with the bigger games this season and Russell Wilson really struggling. Sean Payton comes in as the head coach, and he has had a history of dealing with the likes of like Michael Thomas, Marquez Colston, Brandon Cooks. These are highly successful wide receivers in Sean Payton offenses. I think Jerry Jeudy's playmaking skill sets, ability to get open, the versatility, and where he can operate on the field, and the opportunity to earn a huge target share and what should be a better Russell Wilson in 2023 enables him to have a career year, aka breakout. Jeudy's hot streak of games over a full season shows the upside of a top 12 wide receiver. I think I last ranked him at 14 or 15, so I'm well above consensus when it comes to Jerry Jeudy. Next on the list, we have another sophomore. We have Chris Olave. Chris Olave was selected 11th overall by the Saints in 2022, and he impressed. He had 119 targets. That was number 20 for wide receivers. 72 receptions. That was number 26. 1,042 receiving yards, which is number 17. 13.2 fantasy points per game. That was top 25. He commanded a 26.7% target share. That was 15th and was a big play threat, which was evident by him ranking number 8 in air yards and number 9 in the average depth of his target. He also had 29 deep targets. That was ranked number 4 for wide receivers. So we're looking at a guy that was looked down the field often on, you know, within that target share that he did have. He ranked 10th for the position in yards per route run. That shows some efficiency there. So he now enters year 2 with a quarterback upgrade from being primarily Andy Dalton to now Derek Carr. Derek Carr had a down 2022 season, but he threw for over 4,000 passing yards in the 4 straight seasons prior to 2022. Carr ranked 5th for the quarterback position in deep ball attempts, 5th in air yards. And when we look at what we just talked about with Chris Olave, that lines up. We have a guy that was going deep pretty often in his rookie season with a guy that likes to throw the ball deep. That seems like a pretty good matchup for me. So deep threat with a guy that can connect, I think that could be big for this 2023 season. Michael Thomas will be back for 2023. There's already some workout videos of him doing certain things, but he's only played in 10 games across the last 2 seasons. So even if he is there, Michael Thomas, I believe Olave commands a high target share and again will connect for even more big plays with Derek Carr in 2023. I think this could be a good jump in his production for fantasy for Chris Olave. We're going to talk about Tua as another breakout, Tua Tagovailoa. So Tua's 2022 season was clouded by the concussions that meant him only playing in 13 games. The fear of missing time again for, you know, another concussion has been talked about plenty when it comes to Tua. In 2022, 30.77% of Tua's games played, he finished with 300-plus passing yards. Of quarterbacks who played 10-plus games, only Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen had a higher percentage for that category. Tua also threw 3+ passing touchdowns in that same percent, 30.77% of games played. Only Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Dak Prescott had a higher percentage in that category. Tua finished for the quarterback position number 3 in QBR, 68.5, and his 18.4 fantasy points per game ranked 9th. Player Profiler ranked him number 1 in yards per attempt, number 7 in accuracy rating, number 1 in deep ball completion percentage, and number 2 in red zone completion percentage. So we've seen some passing yard upside, touchdown upside, high efficiency. We can't call it a breakout last year, though, because, again, he only played in those 13 games. What I like about the system, Tyreek Hill ranked 5th and Jalen Waddle ranked 10th in yards after the catch, which supports the passing yardage floor and the ceiling for Tua. He's shown to have the efficiency to get the ball into these two guys' hands, and they give him a boost because they do the rest at times. He doesn't have to completely air it out for him to have a good passing yard day. You have two of the best wide receivers in the league due to their explosiveness and speed after the catch. He does a good job getting it into their hands. So it's a great offense, competent quarterback. It's going to lead to fantasy success at the end of the day. I'm ready for a full season. I'm not going to fear, you know, concussions or fear him getting knocked out, because I think everybody's got that chance at the end of the day. And I think Tua showed us plenty last season. Let's just see it for a full season. Next, we have J.K. Dobbins. I really like J.K. Dobbins this year. I statted out the games J.K. Dobbins saw 10+ touches through his career games. So this included playoffs. And he averaged, in those games that he saw 10+ touches, 12.69 rushing attempts, not even that much, 73.59 rushing yards, 5.72 yards per carry, which makes sense if he's going to only rush the ball like 13 times. He nearly has 74 rushing yards. 0.59 rushing touchdowns and 14 fantasy points. So for perspective here, 14 fantasy points would have been running back 7 in points per game in 2022. Weeks 14 through 17 in 2022, Dobbins finished with 2 games of 120+ rushing yards, and you can tell that he wasn't 100% following the previous season's ACL tear. It looked like he was like limping on one of those big plays. His rookie season, he showed out weeks 11 through 17 with high rushing efficiency, and he scored in every single one of those games. In 2022 and 2020, Dobbins was top 5 in juke rate and was number 4 in breakaway runs his rookie season. So that shows explosiveness and efficiency. So again, 2 seasons of being top 5 in juke rate, and then rookie season number 4 in breakaway runs. That shows a lot of explosiveness for a running back. Dobbins now enters 2023, further away from that 2021 injury that he had to the ACL. The Ravens have a new offensive coordinator who may shy away from having this committee approach to the backfield. The Lamar Jackson-led offense features one of the best tight ends in the league, Mark Andrews, 2 recent first-round picks in Zay Flowers from this year and Rashad Bateman. And we have the veteran Odell Beckham Jr. This offense should be great. This should be one of the better offenses in the NFL should everybody be healthy. So for me, you know, we keep looking for these mirrors of things. If we're looking for an offense that's going to be in scoring position and in an offense that is going to have a lot of opportunity to score touchdowns, and we line it up with what we saw his rookie season, J.K. Dobbins could easily lead the league in touchdowns this coming season. I think that would be I forgot the odds. I was on DraftKings yesterday, but if I had to put money down, I think J.K. Dobbins would be a guy that I would bank on, because we've seen the efficiency. We've seen the explosiveness, the breakaway runs. We've seen the touchdown scoring. So now we have one of the best offenses in the league. Will Lamar Jackson snipe some of that? Sure. But at the same time, I'm very in on J.K. Dobbins being a pretty consistent threat to score weekly, and a guy that's going to have some bigger yardage days. I think you can think of like a Nick Chubb, in all honesty. Next is going to be Dalton Kincaid. So I think I have 2 rookies on this list, and you say like, well, how can a rookie break out if he hasn't played before? But I think you can define a breakout as either one, a player that's been in the league, or, you know, it could be their second season, 10th season, whatever it is, who has a huge jump in production and is a major asset in fantasy lineups, like a major impact. He's helping people win weeks. Or you know, we can talk about guys that for their position year one come in and they're in lineups right away and they're, you know, producing right away and they're started weekly and they have positive impacts. And I think Dalton Kincaid has that chance. I know some people are not as high. Some people are way too high. I just see the opportunity for a rookie tight end to come in and be top 12. And I think that makes a big impact when it comes to the fantasy landscape. 6'4", 246 out of Utah. He was the only tight end taken in the first round. I thought Michael Mayer was also going to be taken, but he wasn't. Through 13 games in 2021, Kincaid finished with 36 receptions for 510 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. In 2022, though, that's where we saw the big jump in production. 70 receptions for 890 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. Kincaid is a true pass-catching tight end who has impressive route running, ball skills. He can be a 50-50 ball winner. I've seen the clips of people just really boosting. I think the Buffalo Bills were the ones boosting his pass catching abilities. I thought I heard like an executive say, it might have been one of theirs, of course, because they drafted him, that he has one of the best hands in this draft class. In 2021, Josh Allen passed the ball 37.9 times per game. And although that number shrank in 2022 to 33.7, I think he had that elbow issue going on. It's still one of the best passing offenses in the league heading into 2023, especially with Josh Allen passing for 35-plus touchdowns for 3 straight seasons. Dawson Knox has commanded the tight end one role, and whether that happens day one or progressively throughout 2023, it's going to be Kincaid's job. I think Dawson Knox still plays a role. Maybe he's utilized in the red zone. Maybe they have 2 tight end sets at times, but we're talking about 2 very different pass-catching tight ends at the end of the day. One really profiles as that. The other guy's a big body guy that's made some plays periodically. Stephon Diggs is the alpha in the system, but the target number 2 is wide open, in my opinion. You know, Gabriel Davis was unimpressive in 2022. If you want to say he was healthy, not healthy, he wasn't great. I mean, you got Khalil Shakir, Deontay Hardy. We don't really have a lot of, you know, solidified pass catchers that are locked in as this number 2 role. And, you know, if there's the chance that Dalton Kincaid before the season ends is that number 2 target in Buffalo for Josh Allen, that is massive for fantasy. So I could definitely see Kincaid stepping right away into some decent volume and having some touchdown upside. And that's what we want out of our tight ends for fantasy football. Last guy here, Anthony Richardson. So I wasn't super high before, in all honesty. I think I was, you know, buying into the, you know, the passing concerns. Is he going to step in right away and be the starter? Is he going to struggle in the NFL just being consistent, completing passes? I kind of was thinking about that, but he's been being raved about, you know, out of camp so far. I think the Colts are very happy with their selection. They picked him 4th overall in this draft. Guy ran a 4.42 40. He was evaluated as maybe the most athletic quarterback of all time as a prospect following that combine. In 2022, Richardson threw for 2,549 yards, 17 touchdowns. He also had 9 interceptions with a 131 quarterback rating. Richardson's 654 rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns shows the upside with his legs. Major physical traits, dual threat ability, and downfield arm strength are the pluses here to potentially, you know, be a threat year one. Just combining those things, you know, the accuracy is the big question mark. We've seen comps by analysts like Lance Zierlein. I think comped him to Cam Newton. Player Profiler comped him to Josh Allen. And again, you have to be careful with comps sometimes. But I see, you know, a guy that's stepping onto a Colts roster that features 2 big playmakers, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, you're going to say, well, he's not going to throw him the ball all the time, but I will say Jonathan Taylor will keep defenses honest. So not all of the focus will be get at Anthony Richardson, make him beat us. It's going to be a balance of, hey, we got to focus on Jonathan Taylor and the rookie quarterback. Michael Pittman Jr., I think that's a great option to have. If we look at, you know, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, they don't have a Michael Pittman Jr. And if they do, we have no idea who it is right now on those rosters. Sophomore Alec Pierce, he was a second-round draft pick. Third-round selection, Josh Downs, a lot of people like him. Isaiah McKenzie, I think, is a pretty good veteran to play in the slot. So, You know, comparing the three rookie quarterbacks, I think Anthony Richardson has the best situation right now. Maybe he doesn't have the passing traits of Young and Stroud, but I think for fantasy purposes, we see the high rushing upside, and I think we see a system that's going to support him, you know, similar to, you know, systems that have been built around like Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. The Colts are nowhere near that right now, but I think this team is going to try to mirror that a little bit. Let's get our, you know, dual threat quarterback with tons of upside with his legs, and maybe he's got some playmaking ability. You know, we're going to draw plays that are specific to him, but let's build around him. I think that's what the Colts are going to do for the next few years. But I think year one, if Anthony Richardson, you know, the playbook is simple and he just has to make, you know, be semi competent, but also utilize his legs to play make. I think that he is going to have a big impact in fantasy. And I think we can argue that he is going to be a top 12 quarterback in year one. And I do like that. So again, trying to get on these live streams as much as possible. Had a little window tonight, so with my windows, I want to, you know, utilize them to talk some content. What I plan on doing for these Fantrax live streams is bringing on other analysts from the industry, like I have in the past with my other podcasts. So look for that probably as soon as next week. Those should be some good streams talking fantasy football. Always here to help you guys get prepared for the season here at Fantrax. Thank you guys for tuning in, and good luck if you got Scott Fishbowl going on. I do this weekend. I have it on Sunday. If you have a rookie draft, whatever the case is, underdog, whatever, enjoy it. This is a good time of year.